Today's scripture is Acts 16, 9 to 15. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippia, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, on the city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come unto my house and abide there." And she constrained us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to our scripture. This is the Gospel of John. In our tradition, we stand to celebrate the gospel and honor it, and maybe to hear it a little more clearly, if that's possible. If you're comfortable standing, if you're not, please remain seated. This is John 5, 1 through 15. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews came to the man who had been cured. "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk?'" And now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. I think I already overread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I apologize. I got a little carried away with the gospel there. I was just going to read you the whole New Testament there. That's a good thing to get stuck in, that book. Pretty simple scripture this morning. God finds a guy that's been lame for 38 years and heals him. Amen. God is good. All the time, God is good. That's it. Lunchtime. Oh. I'll get you for that, Don. There's some other bits in there. It's 15 verses. I mean, wasn't that the story? Wasn't that all that happened there? What's the rest of that stuff in there, those other bits? Always fun to look at the other bits. There was the waters stirred. Wasn't that a funny bit? The man says, "If when the waters are stirred, you see the old wives' tale, or the thought was that when the waters were stirred, it was an angel that had dipped her toe in the pond and caused a ripple, and the first one in the water after that stirring of waters, they'd be healed." Now that word's kind of interesting. That word for stirred, the water stirred, the water's troubled. You know, and in fact, the Greek word is terasso. Say that with me. Terasso. Try it one more time. Terasso. You're going to help me remember it, which is a little stretch. That's used in several other places in the New Testament. Do you remember this was in Matthew 14? The disciples are in a boat, and the boat is battered by waves, and it's dark, and they're terrified. And Jesus comes walking across the water. In the dark, he comes, and they see him, and they are terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cry out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." But when they see him, they are terasso. That's not stirred. That's not a gentle agitation of a few ripples in a pond. That's terrified. That's really stirred up. Another word for it is troubled. Now, I don't know about you, but Simon and Garfunkel talked about a bridge over troubled water, not a dipping of toes and getting in there to get healed. So I'm a little confused about this word and about this pond. You can imagine this beautiful setting. Have you ever been in one of those settings and it's just idyllic? And a breeze or a leaf touches the water and sends a beautiful little shimmer of wave across the water. Isn't that wonderful? That's what they're talking about in this man. And as soon as that water had been terasa troubled, the first one in was healed. And Jesus says to the man, "And you've been sick a little while?" Intriguingly, we know that the man's been ill for 38 years. This is not a temporary affliction. This is not a simple healing of somebody that just has a sniffle. By the way, sniffles and coughs, they said that after all the snow and the rain, and then that the trees are going to give it to us twice fold. So hang in there. So this troubled water, terasso. Now there's another tidbit that's in here that's kind of intriguing. Jesus sees the man. The man doesn't say, "Come, I know who you are. Come and heal me." No, in fact, Jesus goes to him. You realize later they ask him, "Who did this?" "I don't know who he was. He just told me to take up my mat, and I did." But he doesn't know. Jesus goes to him. "Would you like to be healed?" And the man's vision of being healed is to be the first one in the water. That's all he can envision. I love you, trees. I don't know why you don't love me. Jesus said, "Take up your mat and walk." He heals him unasked. It is Jesus' initiative. Kind of a funny bit. One of the commentators commented, he said, "This man, 38 years, has been waiting to be the first one in the water." And you can imagine that there were times when there were other people there that had other infirmities, but it would have been the more privileged, and perhaps those who had a hangnail or chapped lips that were the first ones in many times. Instead of considering someone who's infirm for 38 years, here are some with trivial things that might have supplanted his ability to come forward. Not very loving, caring, considerate. Kind of a funny tidbit there. But here, Jesus doesn't get him to the water first. Jesus doesn't take him to the water at all. Forget all that. "I heal you. Stand and take up your mat." Now, there's an odd bit here, too, that the man is castigated for carrying his mat on the Sabbath. We don't realize what a big deal that was. Well, if you were an Orthodox Jew today, I understand some of them take this that seriously still today. That in fact you have to have your light switches and automated, because turning on and off a light switch is doing work, and you can't do that on Sabbath. If you're going to cook, you have to have it on a timed system, because turning on or off the stove or something is doing work. This is disobeying one of the commandments. Thou shalt not work on the Sabbath. And Jesus unsettled that one. He took that apart pretty quickly. He says, you guys have turned it upside down. You've made us obedient to the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is obedient to us. This is our day. This is the time to pause. Once a week to stop. Give some time to God. Take some time for yourself. You and your household and your servants and your slaves, even your critters. Take a day and recenter ourselves. And they've made it this imposing weight that people have to wear around their shoulders. A man who can't get up and pick up his mat on the Sabbath because it's doing work. Jesus directs him to do that. Hear that? That's an interesting bit to that. Now, here's another little bit that's in this. If you look at it closely, the man shows no appreciation. In fact, the Jews say, what are you doing carrying your mat? Oh, some man told me to do it. Well, who is he? I don't know. Don't have any idea. But it was him that did it. It wasn't me. He throws Jesus right under the bus, doesn't he? And so then later Jesus says, you're healed. He doesn't say, thank you, you've done a wonderful thing. He doesn't say anything at all. He goes and he tells the Jews, oh, I found him. Not a very appreciative man. And what does that say to Jesus and his ministry and to us in our ministry? Do we do it for the thank yous, for the accolades, for being acknowledged? Jesus teaches us that those are not the motives for such. So what is the scripture today? It's just a little healing story, isn't it? That's the amazing part about the Bible. I don't know how many times I've read this particular passage. And every time I do, there's something else new. It's like pausing to pray to Jesus. There's also something new, always. So here is a scripture about a healing miracle. And about healing somebody even when he wasn't asked to do so. To do it because it was the right thing to do. Here is a scripture about Jesus violating the Sabbath and directing a man to do the same. Here's a man healed without appreciation. And here's Jesus doing something that might be costly to him. It wasn't doing Jesus any good to get crosswise with these people. Scripture's amazing. Scripture's a blessing. Scripture continues to speak to us. Now, this is Memorial Day weekend, and as I reflected with the kids, they went right down the path with me to the picnic and to the sales and everything. So we're not giving them enough information, and I hope I did that today to help them remember what Monday's really about. Peggy, if this keeps up, you're finishing the sermon. She's back here laughing like crazy. She's told me she'll do the sermon if I'll do the organ. It's not happening, ladies and gentlemen. But Memorial Day to remember. World after the Civil War, more American lives were lost in that war than any wars we've ever been involved in. It was graphic, like painful. And so it was a day to pause. And work on that grief, work on that loss, work on reconciliation. It is in no way and never has been a glorification of war. And if you've ever spent time with any of those who've been in the midst, they will be just as adamant about not glorifying it. But it's about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. What an incredible thing. And one of the things that touches my heart the hardest is that they were young. So many years to live that they didn't have the opportunity. And as I was contemplating, I contemplated events in Highland Ranch just in this last week or two. A couple of young boys trying to make a name for themselves, going to shoot up the school. And he went in, and one of them, Kendrick Castillo, he gave his life to stop them. Is it not appropriate, perhaps, on Monday to pause and give thanks to him as well? There were two others, Joshua Jones and Brendan Bialy. They didn't give their lives. But they stood up against what was wrong, what was evil. And they did what was right. Let's remember those names. I don't know the name of the kid involved, and I'm not going to learn it. Point of fact, I found a group. It's called No Notoriety. You can look it up on the internet. One word, No Notoriety. Pushing hard for news agencies, press, anybody, that any time one of these events happened, the perpetrators become anonymous. Because you see, they're out for the... It's like getting a perfect selfie. Look, I can become famous. So there's a pushback, and perhaps that's one of the places we can be engaged in trying to change what's happening. But I would lift Kendrick as we remember those who gave their lives that others might live. We would be remiss in a Christian settings not to realize that that's what Jesus did for us. This man, lame for 38 years. It's intriguing to me. He'd been lame for 38 years, and Jesus could have waited one more day and not done it on the Sabbath. Give some thought to that. And Jesus gives his life for us. I am proud to be Christian, and I so much want to be faithful. And I want to sit by the pool and wait for an angel to dip her toes in the water and see the ripple on the water. Oh, I'm ready for that idyllic moment, aren't you? I'm not so sure I'm ready for the moment of sacrifice. I'm not looking forward to the opportunities to have to do something that's hard and that might have consequences. I ask myself, am I willing to work for the kingdom of God? I think I am. Am I willing to confront injustices and wrongs and help do what's right and stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves? I hope so. I think so. And am I willing to give even great sacrifices? I'd rather sit by the pool, I have to admit. But the pool is troubled. Terrazzo. The angel dipping a toe in the water, it's a small ripple. But it is God at work. We should have done Wade into the Water, Don. We should sing Wade in the Water next. Perhaps. But on this Memorial Day, let's ask that question. As we celebrate those who gave great sacrifices, are we willing to sacrifice anything? Parts of things, bits and pieces. What are we willing to sacrifice for our Lord and Savior? Peace to you on this Memorial Day. Enjoy your cookouts, as I will mine. Amen.